right. Thank you, young people. Well, on Sunday evenings, we've had the Identity Crisis series, and last week I went through a list about the masks that we find ourselves putting on. It's not my list. I'm very indebted to Pure Desire Ministries for this list, because it really does get down to the many ways that we endeavor to cover things that are not settled in our life. Just to remind you, I'll do a quick little review. The old fortress mask protects me from getting close to people who could hurt me. The distrust factor. Take charge mask. I have to feel in control so I won't get hurt. We talked about that. That's very common. The superior mask. If I look better than others, I will be accepted. The victim's mask. Everyone is trying to hurt me. The party mask. I have to be the life of the party to be accepted. That's a very common one. The pleaser mask. I can't say no, because if I'm going to be liked, I've got to be needed. I want to feel accepted. The vanity mask. My value comes from my outward appearance. The rescuer mask. I feel responsible for making others happy, constantly doing that, but it's all to meet the need that's not being dealt with in the heart. Performance mask. This goes along with the superior mask. My value is placed on my performance and how well I measure up. The happy mask. People only like me when I'm happy and fun to be with. And some people really, I mean, they're as happy as can be. You're really touched by them. And then when you get to know what their real situation is, whoa. I can do it mask. Asking for help is a sign of weakness. I can't depend on others. The perfectionist mask. I won't be liked if I make mistakes. I don't want to feel rejected. The rebel mask. I don't like being told what to do, so I'm going to be behind this tough rebel mask. The flirtatious mask. I feel accepted when I'm pursued. The self-sufficient mask. People may need me, but I don't need anyone. They will only disappoint me. The clown mask. Every group has a clown. I have to make people laugh to hide my own hurt. Hero mask. I must be there to rescue the situation, close to some of the other things that we've mentioned. Control mask. Since I cannot control the home I live in, I'll control the parts of my life that I can. Put down mask. If I put down others, it'll make me look better. The unaffected mask. I act like nothing bothers me or touches me when it really does. The uninvolved mask, very common for teenagers. I'm too cool to get involved in this activity, though down deep I really want to. The confident mask. I like to act like I'm in control when I'm very insecure about myself. The sensitive mask. I over-apologize so no one will have a problem with me. The blame mask. It's not my fault. It's somebody else's fault. And then the running mask. If there's tension in a relationship, I run, but I'll tell everyone it's God's will. So a very interesting set. I just ran through that to remind you. Now, the main way you solve the mask problem is what? Solve what you're masking, okay? And that's what we've been preaching about for weeks and weeks. But I want to, in conjunction with that, give another perspective that might help you in this matter of the mask problem. And that would be found in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, if you'll turn there with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. When we think of a mask, we think of something hiding our face, something covering how we really are, how we really feel. We're concerned about how we are perceived rather than meeting the needs of others and being transparent and real. Well, I've got a very good solution for the mask problem. And that is what is found here in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Now, I can't get into the whole background of this chapter, speaking of the what God has done in their lives and in their hearts, and the law versus what God was going to do in relationship and so forth. Talks about Moses, how that he had to put a veil over his face because he was meeting with the Lord and his face was aglow. And there's so much there. But with that as a background, if you'll look with me at verse 17. Now the Lord, is that spirit. And where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, no mask, beholding, as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed to the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of God. I love those verses. Now, as we allow God to go through the layers of our life and begin to expose the things that are not right in our life, hidden sin, bitternesses, unsolved hurts, and the subsequent reactions that we've had of insecurity and the lack of confidence and all of the different problems that come from that, as we allow God to work and we begin to realize the glorious salvation that we have and the relationship that we can have with Him, we begin to no longer need the mask. Instead, because we are what we are by the grace of God and we're confident in the Lord, we can begin to be more and more genuine and real. That's wonderful. It's wonderful to be around transparent, genuine, non-hypocritical Christians who don't have the mask on. Isn't that a blessing? Don't you enjoy just real people? But I got one better than that. And that is that as the mask goes down and the problems get solved, and you meet on the mount with the Lord in prayer, and you have a confident relationship with Him, guess what happens now? Instead of hiding your face becomes the way that Jesus is seen through you. You see, open face, open, honest life, where the Spirit of the Lord is. When He meets the needs, there is liberty. And there's so much more in this passage, but just want to take it from this angle. And the Spirit of God's working and giving us truth, and we are reveling in the victory that we can have in Him, and God overcomes the hurts and the problems in our life. We're able to have an open face, and we can behold in a glass, in a mirror, the Word of God, the glory of the Lord. And we're changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as that by the Spirit of the Lord. This is referring back to the fact that Moses had a veil over his face because they couldn't handle the glory that was being seen because of his meeting with the Lord on Mount Sinai. It's speaking of that same glory that ought to be in our lives as we continually meet with God. We're no longer self-focused. We're no longer trying to cope ourselves. We're free in our spirit, and we're actually meeting with God. We're confident with Him. There isn't guilt between us and the Lord. We're processing things right. Satan is not messing up our thinking, and we're actually having a genuine relationship with Him. We begin to be transformed, changed from glory to glory. There is a continual development in our life by the Spirit of God that causes the glory of the Lord to be seen. Now here's the ultimate, folks. We need to take off the mask, the coping mask, by having God, the Spirit of God, change us. But it ought to be one better than that. We ought to have the glory of the Lord now seen rather than just us. Now it's great to be transparent, open, honest, real believers. But my friends, life is not about us. You know, God's not interested in a better you. He's interested in a transformed you that is a billboard for Him, a walking advertisement for God. You see, when you have a mask on, who's it all about? It's all about focus on you. When the mask comes off and you get to be honest, and you have to deal with reality, and people know that you're struggling with things, and you're growing, and you're being honest about your needs, but you're confident in the Lord, that's a blessing. If you're really meeting with God then, instead of the focus being on you, the focus is on God, and people start seeing God. See, this is what's so exciting. Did you know you can be honest about your testimony, but be living in victory? And that honesty, that genuine humility, allows glory to be seen, and people are actually encouraged by a life that has had struggles that had to be dealt with. Aren't you blessed by somebody that's just excited about the Lord, who's been having victory over the sin in their life? Aren't you blessed by that? You don't look down on a person like that. You look up to Jesus. You're thankful for that. That is just such a blessing. It's such a clear example, illustration of the power of God in a person's life. So I'd like to encourage us. Let's substitute masks, not just for openness because of victory, but let's ask God to give us the face of Christ. Now that moves into 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Therefore, based on this, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. The great truths that were found back in chapter 3 and the reality of what God can do. He said, God has given us a ministry. Now, my friends, our ministry is Christ. You see, the mask is about us. The mask is trying to survive. The mask is trying to cope with life. You get free of that. It's wonderful. You begin to have victory. But we need to step into the fact that the Spirit of God will cause us, as we get to really know the Lord, to reflect His glory, and we'll have a ministry that is going to make a difference. Not the corrupt stuff that was going on there in Corinthians, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious, note the word glorious, gospel of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine unto them. Now note these verses. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You know, it's wonderful to know that we can go from a life of defeat and hidden things, trying to survive, trying to do the best we can, trying to be sincere, but it's just not all there, and there's all these different emotional issues. It's wonderful that we can begin then to have victory, realizing who we are in Christ, and all of a sudden these coping mechanisms begin to be dealt with. There's victory over sin. The guilt is gone. There's a walk with God. But it's wonderful to know that that should turn into ministry, that we have a ministry that is different than the world, that's focused on self, and that Satan is endeavoring to blind, but we, as we are giving out the gospel, God wants to shine, just like back in chapter 3, His glory, the very glory that's on the face of the glorified Christ, through us. Look at verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So, how about substituting, taking off the mask and showing forth Jesus? Going from self focus and cover up to taking that off, and because of your walk with the Lord, to let the glorious light of the truth shine through your life. I'm telling you, my friends, people need to see the real thing. In witnessing, you can have all the words right, and the power of the gospel will save, and I'm thankful for that. But you have a Christian who's rejoicing in the Lord, who's right with God, who has an intimate relationship with the Lord, and they speak of Christ. They're not aware of it, but the person listening to them is seeing Christ, and their heart melts. Ever wondered why some people just see people saved? It's not because they have a great personality. Many times it's not because they have just a tremendous grasp of how to give the gospel, though that's very important to have. It's just because they're so excited about the Lord. It's just irresistible. when a person talks. I mean, it meets the need of the heart. Jim Gruber, in his last days, he was a deacon here. He got Parkinson's as a probably in his 50s or 40s, earlier than normal. And but the one thing he was going to do was go soul winning. And some of you went soul winning with him. And what he lacked in his ability to speak, and of course his shaking all the time, and the weakness that he had, was in his countenance when he talked about Jesus. And he saw people saved in that condition. Guys that would go with him say, wow, it was just amazing how God's power went right through him. I've mentioned before, a dear man of God was a deacon in the church in Chicago where I was at. And he just didn't know that you were supposed to get used to your Christianity. I've never seen a man day after day thrilled about being saved. And he met with the Lord. He was serious about his walk with God, and he loved to give out the gospel. And he'd walk up to you and you're already encouraged. And he's one of those huggy guys, you know, a big old bear of a guy. He was a superintendent on a construction job, so he was no wimp, you know. Isn't the Lord good, you know? And it was nothing fake about it. It was just coming right out of his life. His children would tell you that. Guess what? Most of the people he talked to got saved. That's contagious. You see, Jesus makes a difference. When Jesus shows up in witnessing, when Jesus shows up in discipleship, when Jesus shows up in our family altar, when Jesus shows up in our communication, when Jesus shows up at our Bible studies, things change. There's glory there. And I've mentioned in my 9.5 years there, by the time I finished, during that time he had led a number of people to Christ, and we had 6 deacons who he had led to the Lord in that 9.5 years who had already been discipled by the power of God and were to the level they could be in leadership. That's pretty remarkable. But it wasn't that he had any more ability than anybody else. He just happened to be in love with Jesus. He'd gotten over those inner issues. There was no mask. He just was what he was, and he'd tell you if he was having problems. And he's with the Lord now, so I can talk about him. But I'm just trying to say, folks, that, you know, as we talk about the mask, it sure be a whole lot better for us to have the real deal. And so the same God who dramatically commanded the light to shine out of darkness. What a moment that must have been. Let there be light. Boom. Universe. I don't even know how. Can't even imagine what that was like. He has shined in our hearts. Don't you just love the illumination that God gave at salvation? He continues to give the illumination. But he wants to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, and we have this treasure in earthen vessels. And so, folks, when we don't solve those inner problems, when we wear the mask, when we're concerned about how people perceive us, we're dead. No light. What little walk with God is hidden by that mask. But when we understand that's all to protect us, that's self-focus, and you humbly begin to work on the inner issues and are honest about it, you're getting help and you're growing in the Lord and the truths are coming from glory to glory, you begin to more and more don't even realize it, but you have life. You start gracing people. You start showing God's glory. You start stirring people about the reality of their God. I'm behind this pulpit today because I have seen Jesus. No, I haven't seen the actual physical form of Jesus. I certainly have met with him, but throughout my life, I've seen him in other people. I really have. I mean, you can't convince me he's not real. I've seen him in humble servants of the Lord around the world. You've heard me talk about it. I saw him in my grandmother. Couldn't walk into the room when she was praying without being under enormous conviction. I honestly think her face glowed. I'm sure it didn't physically, but I thought it did. It was amazing. I saw Jesus in my dad. And I saw Jesus in my mom. I mean, I tell you what, when you live with Jesus, it's convicting when you're not right with God. It's a powerful thing. I've seen Jesus in Sunday school teachers. I had a couple of men that just loved God, and I saw Jesus. I have met with some of the great missionaries, some that had been on the fields of Hudson Taylor, older folks back when I was just a kid, but they glowed with the reality of Christ. I've been with men. I often talk about John R. Rice, Brother Heim's grandfather. I've seen Jesus in him, and I know you have too. I get emotional thinking about it, just hearing his voice. And I'm telling you what, I wouldn't say he's the most charismatic, striking, handsome man in the world. Would you say that, Brother Himes? But when he stood up to preach, or if I was with him in our home and he was praying, I saw Jesus. I don't know how many times he'd just walk into the pulpit and tears would come to my eyes. I'm a kid, you know? But I saw something. I'm telling you, Jesus is wonderful. He just stirs your heart. He is worthy of all love and adoration. Your heart is just pulled to him. I saw him in one of the great leaders of the India revival, as I happened to have the privilege of, he was one of the disciples of Praying Hyde. And I remember one time we were praying and I looked up as a child and I saw Jesus. He didn't have his eyes closed. He was looking to heaven. And I saw Jesus. I saw the glory of God in an earthen vessel. And one of the joys I have, and you've heard me say this before, when you've heard me preach on something like this, but I see Jesus when I preach. It really encourages me. I want you to know that. I'll be just as I normally do. I'm preaching, and all of a sudden, there's light over here. There's light over there. And sometimes I'm not just trying to look directly at people, but all of a sudden my own heart is melted because someone is reveling in Jesus. Not trying to. By the way, if you think you're showing forth his glory, you ain't. Okay, so that's a good sign. You're oblivious to it. You know, you don't know that it's happening. But dear humble saints of the Lord in this congregation, I tell you what, it's hard for me to preach in other places because I'm just downright spoiled by this group right here. All it takes is I may have, you know, recently I was in a church and, it was just sort of, and all of a sudden I saw a couple of people, saw Jesus. Jesus was, I don't want to be irreverent, but he was saying, go for it. Because those people were saying, go for it. I had one of them. It was interesting. Afterwards, this older person came up to me and said, oh, I'm so glad you preached that. Man, I tell you, we needed to hear that. I was so thrilled. My heart was stirred, well, I could tell. And it was a great encouragement. I read that loud and clear that I was preaching on abiding in Christ. And that was a reality to them. It's a wonderful thing. And folks, you know, when we meet unsaved relatives, when we're out just meeting people, if we got a mask on, do you think we're going to move the kingdom forward very much? No, that's what the world is. The world's nothing but a bunch of masks, hurting people. That's why, folks, if we've got guilt, we got to deal with that. If we've got some things that are causing us bitterness and wounds that we haven't really trusted God about, we can't let that go on because the mask's got to come off. We've got to be real people. We've got to be honest so that the glory of God can shine through. And folks will be saved. Folks will be changed. The reason a lot of people are defeated in soul winning and other ministry is that they know they're not totally genuine. And so therefore, they don't have victory to give to someone else. So I was just stirred as I thought, how am I going to follow up the message on masks? I thought, oh, Moses, when he took the veil off, the glory of God was seen. And when we take the veil off by the grace of God and let God work in our hearts and we're just honest before him, then the glory can start being seen. Glory can, you know, it's a great way to solve marriage problems, husbands. For your wife to see Jesus in you. And ladies, it doesn't hurt for your husband to see it too. Did you know one of the places that masks come on a lot are in close relationships? We protect ourselves. We don't trust. I could go on and on, but I think you've gotten the idea. Now, let me just conclude. I'm going to go through the chapter and we'll be done here. Verse 8. It's not easy. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. In other words, we continue to identify with his sacrifice and are willing to die to self. Why? That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. There it is. Your very body, your eyes, your voice, your touch, the look on your face ought to manifest the life of Christ. That's why we cannot let self be the issue of our life. We've got to die to self as the example of the Lord Jesus so that he can be made manifest. For we which live are always delivered unto death, and speaking their persecution, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. Let me jump down to verse 16. Well, I want to read verse 15. He said, all that we've gone through is allowing the Lord to be seen through us. Verse 15, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not. Just like at the beginning of the chapter, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. All those problems are getting solved day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And so this whole picture here that the Apostle Paul was not getting frustrated, hurt, all the things that were happening, God was allowing that to free him, not to cause him to be overcome, and he was able to be freed of the temporal world around him and to see the eternal and the spiritual. This world needs to see Jesus. Your family needs to see Jesus. And how much do they hear him? I've heard his voice. I've seen his eyes. And I felt his touch, and so have you probably. And I'm different because of it. You know, folks, as we think of the conference coming, wouldn't it be wonderful if the masks were all gone at Falls Baptist Church? That there was just a genuine dealing with self and letting God work. And we met with the Lord, and there's nothing that we're trying to hide, and we allow Jesus to be seen. I'm telling you, it's powerful. People today, the world is so overbearing, and just to see the light of the presence of God in a church, the glory of God in a church, can make all the difference. So let's take off the masks, and let's let Jesus be seen. Let's bow for prayer.